Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We had been discussing chapter 12, Bhakti Yoga, Yoga of Devotion. And so far we have seen that at the beginning of the chapter, Arjuna had a question that who is better, a devotee who is worshipping a manifest form of the Lord, as we have seen here, such as Krishna. Everything is Lord's manifestation in this world, but I assign divinity to a particular manifestation of the Lord and consider that as divine, and then devote myself to that form as the object of my worship, as the means to achieve the perfection. That's the upasana of the manifest Lord. And there are others who, following the Upanishadic declarations about the unmanifest Brahman as the substratum for this entire manifest universe, focus their mind on that unmanifest. And Arjuna's question is, which one is better? Which devotee is better? Or which method is better to achieve the final goal of perfection, becoming one with the Supreme Lord? And Bhagwan obviously explained that both are equal in terms of reaching the final destination of perfection. But both have to have their respective qualifications to achieve that perfection. So for the devotee of the manifest Lord, Bhagwan said the qualification would be Mayi avesya manaha mam nitya yukta upasate sraddaya parayopetahate me yukta tamamataha. So the three qualifications are: mind is resting in me, constantly worshipping me, and becoming one with me is the basic qualifications of a devotee of the manifest Lord. Then what are the qualifications of the devotees of the unmanifest Lord? And he said, Sam niyamya indriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhayaha. All senses are in control, and everywhere the intellect is seeing equanimity. In other words, every manifest form which I see in this world, my mind will see it as the manifestation of the same Lord. And therefore I see the equalness in everything in this world that I see. In its outward appearance, the thing or being may be very different from each other, but the core of all the things and beings is the same Lord. This world is nothing but the manifestation of the same Self. That Supreme Self which created this world out of His own Self, and therefore no Self in this world can be any different than the Supreme Self. That understanding at the intellect level will make me samabuddhayaha. And the last qualification he gives is sarva bhuta hite rataha. He is constantly engaged in the betterment and welfare of all beings. These are the qualifications for the devotee of the unmanifest. And now, in the verse 5, Bhagavan gives a practical advice to us and says, Klesho adhik tarah tesham avyakta sakta chetasa. Those who are worshipping the unmanifest form, they have greater difficulties than those who are worshipping manifest form. So it almost seems like Bhagavan is clearly advocating that you should be worshipping the manifest form and not the unmanifest form. However, that is not the case, because Gita is nothing but the essence of Upanishads and Vedas. So it cannot be in a total contradiction with Upanishads. But it is our lack of understanding sometimes creates that contradiction. So when you read this first line in context with the second line, we understand why Bhagavan says that. So in the second line of that verse, he says, Avyakta hi gatir dukkham deha vadbir vapyate. Because it is very difficult for dehi. Dehi means the one who is attached to the deha, the body. One who is engaging in the pleasures of this body, for him, it is very difficult to focus his mind on the unmanifest Lord. If constantly my mind is engaged in how do I get the pleasures in this world through senses, mind cannot rise above these pleasures of this world, what we call bhoga, to become yogi, engage into yoga. So therefore, if we at our level consider identified with this body so firmly that I consider myself as this limited being and the world is something other than me, it is more difficult for me to focus on the unmanifest than on the manifest Lord. Because the manifest Lord will be much easier for my mind to objectify and then identify with it, versus unmanifest, which my mind is not yet trained to identify with. Therefore, Bhagavan says, for the dehi like us, who are identified with this body, it is more difficult for us to identify with the unmanifest and worship unmanifest. So it is not the rejection of the one and acceptance of the other, but giving us a practical advice that till you reach a level where your identification with the body drops, it is much easier for you to focus on the manifest form of the Lord, which you consider divine. So, the next verse, which is verse 6, now gives the practical prescription of how to practice that bhakti, that upasana to the manifest Lord. He said, Etu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya matparaha ananye naiva yogena mam dhyayanta upasate. The first advice is, etu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya. Renounce all your actions into me. We have discussed this before, that I do not need to change what I am doing right now. I simply need to change my attitude towards why I am doing it. Right now my mind says I am doing it to get pleasure for myself, to achieve this accomplishment for myself. Once I come to the conclusion that this body, mind and intellect is nothing but an instrument for the Supreme Conscious to function through, this BMI become nothing but an instrument of the Lord. And therefore, everything I do, I'm doing it according to His will. My mother constantly used to remind me every letter she writes that Baliyasi Kevalam Ishwarecha. Only the will of Ishwara, the God, is Almighty. Because everything that is happening in my life is happening because I'm alive, that Supreme Consciousness is functioning through me. So even my mind and intellect are actually controlled by the Supreme Mind and Intellect. And therefore His Supreme will prevail over my petty little intellect or petty little mind. So, Bhagavan said that Etu Sarvani Karmani Mai Sanyasya. Offer all your actions to me. In other words, understand that all my actions are possible only because the Supreme Consciousness is functioning through me. Mat Paraha. Regarding me as the supreme goal. Now, once again, we have sometimes this conflict and say, what does that mean? I have so many goals in my life which I'm trying to achieve. Now, do I have to add one more goal and say, okay, now on top of that, I will have achieving Bhagwan as the other goal? And Bhagwan actually explains in that, actually that is your goal, knowingly or unknowingly. Knowingly or unknowingly, you're trying to achieve that perfect happiness, a perfect state of existence where there is no sorrow, there is no failure, there is no unhappiness. That state is the state of the Supreme Being. So your goal was always in your life to achieve that state of Supreme Being, except you never knew. And therefore you assigned that achievement to a petty little achievements in life. I'll achieve this, I'll achieve all this success, I'll collect all this money, and then I will become that supremely happy. We know the futility of that thinking now, at least those of us who have gone through most of our lives, that that's not possible. Therefore, Bhagavan said, give up all your this petty little goals. Keep the supreme goal in mind that your goal is to achieve the state where there is no sorrow, there is no unhappiness, there is no failures. That state is my being, and therefore consider me as your supreme goal. And then he says, Ananyeva Yogena Mam Dhyayanta Upasate. Without other, anya other, ananya no other, having no other goal in mind, keeping this all other goals of getting importance in the society, getting respect from my peers, all of this considered to be non-goals. Once I achieve the supreme goals, all other goals will fall in place. I will not have to think about them. Once I identify with the higher entity, if I'm working for a giant international company, and as a representative of that company, when I represent myself to another company or a client and say, I am Neil Bhatt, vice president of such and such, not only am I representing myself, but I'm actually representing the company. So all the powers, all the glory, all the resources of that company are representing through me. The same way in this world, instead of representing me as this limited body, mind and ego, if I represent myself as the representative of the Supreme Lord, then I will have all that resources supporting my goal of achieving that supreme goal. So ananyeva yogena, that yoga of final goal in mind. When I represent my company, the goal in mind is to get that contract for that company or to make the progress for that company, the growth of that company. That's the ultimate goal. That empowers me to function efficiently as the vice president of the company, president of the company, or even the simple employee of that company. Once I take the title away from me, I will be just this one little individual who have very little resources. Same way, when I divorce myself from the Supreme Being, I am this pathetic, limited being who has a limited mind, limited intellect, limited knowledge, limited resources, and therefore I cannot achieve anything higher. So Bhagavan says, ananyeva yogena mam dhyayanta upasate. Thinking of me and worshipping me, worshipping, as we have discussed, identifying with me without any other, without identifying with any other thing or being, without identifying with this limited body, mind and intellect. When I identify with the Supreme Being, then I will achieve that goal. And the next verse gives us assurance. Tesam aham samuddharta mrityu sansara sagarat. This ocean of mortality, an ever-changing world, the sansara, samsarati iti samsara, that which is constantly, it is samsara. My life, constantly changing. What I thought is good today will change tomorrow. In the same token, what I thought bad today will also change tomorrow. But I need to have that equal perspective on both good and bad, that everything I'm experiencing is a finite experience. And it will start at time T1 and it's time T2. It's not a continuous experience. And therefore, this sansar is called mrityu sansar, which is mortality. Every state I exist in will end. Every experience I experience will end. So this mrityu sansara, mortality, is the key factor. And the change is the signature of life. I will rescue you from this mrityu sansara. I will save you from this ever-changing world that will achieve that stability of establishing yourself into that bliss where there is no unhappiness, no failure and no sorrow. Bhavami na achirat partha maya veshita chetasa. So the one whose intellect is established in me, in no time he will become one with me. With not only my mind, but when my intellect is also established in the Supreme Self, that I will become one with him. My mind identifying with that manifest Lord of Divinity, where I assign all the divine into him and identifying with him. But not only just the form of the Lord, in this case maybe Krishna, not only that I identify with the Krishna's form as the form of my Lord, but also Krishna's intellect is my intellect. I identify with the supreme cosmic intellect. And therefore, I will realize that everything that is happening in this world has its own purpose and its own reason for it. I will not be constantly questioning why this and why that, why my life is like this and not like others, why there is tsunami and why there is tornadoes. It is exactly happening as this Prakriti is designed to function. So, when I assign myself to the Lord, I identify with Him, do all my actions according to His will. In other words, I renounce all my actions into Him and I worship Him with no other goal, then I will achieve that state. So the next verse, the verse 8 says, Mayeva mana adatsva mayi buddhim niveshaya nivasasi maya eva ata urdvam na sansaya. He is one more time assuring us that there is no doubt, ata urdvam na sansaya, there is no doubt that mayeva mana adastva is meditating on me. The mind is the one which is constantly contemplating on what to achieve and what not to achieve. Mind is constantly trying to live with something, to avoid something. So, mayeva mana adatsva, offering your mind to me. Mayi buddhim niveshaya, place your intellect into me. Not thinking through my small intellect, but constantly thinking through the supreme intellect. I have come across this little bracelet which says WWJD. What would Jesus do? Now there was a brilliant idea some Christian group had come up with. Therefore, the teenagers who are confused at their age of what is right and wrong, they get into the wrong thing like drugs and alcohol. That any time you are deciding whether they are right or wrong, think about what would Jesus do in this situation. And I thought that's exactly what Bhagavad Gita says. Mayi buddhim niveshaya. Rather than me deciding what is right for me at this time, I would say, what would Krishna do at this time? In this situation I'm facing right now, rather than thinking through my intellect and say, oh, my peers will think good about me, they will think this is cool if I do this, let me see what Krishna would have done in my situation. So I say, let for all us Hindu think about WWKD. What would Krishna do? And Bhagavan says, Mayi buddhim niveshaya. Place your intellect into me. Nivasasi maya eva ato urdvam na sansayaha. There is no doubt that thou shall live in me alone. And that point onward, you will be living in the Supreme Self. Now my limited self, which is conditioned by this body, mind and intellect, is no more limited by this body, mind and intellect. It will be constantly identifying with this universal self, which is pervading all things and beings, and has limitless possibilities and limitless power, that I'll be constantly will be living in the Supreme Self. With that, we'll stop here.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om, Shri Gurubhyo Namaha, Harihi Om.